Right now, on a free app on your phone, you can generate a flawless, totally fake corporate payslip.
Yeah, it takes what, maybe 3 seconds to render?
Barely 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And it costs $0. And, it's so sophisticated, it can reliably fool a billion-dollar banking AI.
Which is just, I mean, it's terrifying.
It really is. So today, we're doing a deep dive into the reality of zero-cost forgery. I want you to imagine the largest bank in the country walking into the offices of the New South Wales Police, right? And the corporate regulator, ASIC.
Yeah, but they aren't reporting a bank robbery.
Exactly. And they aren't complaining about like a massive cyber attack by a foreign state. They're walking in to self-report a staggering $1 billion problem hiding quietly inside their own home loan portfolio.
And the most alarming part of that self-reporting is that it really shatters a fundamental assumption underlying the entire financial system.
The idea of trust, right?
Exactly. For decades, the system has relied on this illusion of certainty, the idea that a piece of paper or, a digital document inherently represents the truth.
Because it used to be really hard to fake.
Right. But when the cost of faking that truth drops to literally zero, the entire architecture of trust just collapses.
Which is exactly what we are unpacking in today's deep dive.
Yeah.
We're looking at a mid-2026 article from the Broker Times. It's titled, After the $1 Billion CBA Probe, Re-Architecting Your Document Verification Workflow Against AI-Generated Payslips.
It's a very dense title, but a crucial read.
Very crucial. So our mission today is to understand the actual mechanics of how financial forgery went from this like highly skilled, specialized crime to a completely free commodity.
Yeah, and more importantly, we are going to walk you through the concrete four-layer defensive workflow that professionals are using to survive in this new low-trust reality.
Right. Because whether you're a finance professional trying to protect your license or just, someone trying to understand how AI is actively breaking our traditional systems of verification, this breakdown is going to permanently change how you look at a simple PDF.
It really will. And to really grasp the gravity of this, we have to look at the sheer scale of the crisis outlined in the text.
The numbers are insane.
They are. The Commonwealth Bank, CBA, isn't just dealing with a few doctored files here and there. Their new AI system is actively scanning 80 million fraud signals every single day.
80 million
Yeah.
every single day.
Yeah. And the Financial Intelligence Agency, AUSTRAC, has effectively built this massive dragnet pulling localized fraud data from 10 different major lenders.
See, an 80 million signal scan per day is just a mind-bending number to me. Like, what does that actually look like in practice? What is the system actually looking at?
So it's looking at millions of micro data points across thousands of applications. It's scanning the velocity of document creation, IP addresses, microscopic font kerning, metadata inconsistencies.
All the hidden digital footprints.
Exactly. But to understand why the bank needs to scan 80 million signals a day, you have to understand the root cause of this explosion in volume.
Right, the shift in how easy it is.
Yeah, prior to this, faking a financial profile required serious friction. I mean, you needed graphic design skills to manipulate a corporate logo. You had to understand complex tax brackets to manually calculate the year-to-date withholdings.
And you had to make sure all the math actually balanced perfectly.
Precisely. You had to be an expert in both Photoshop and accounting.
Which is a pretty rare combo for a petty criminal.
It is. But by mid-2026, that barrier to entry just vanished. And it was due to the integration of open-source large language models with template-aware document generators.
Okay, I want to pause right there because those are pretty dense terms. How are those two technologies actually working together to create this specific problem?
It's a really dangerous synergy. So the template-aware generator provides the rigid, deterministic visual structure.
Like the actual look of the page.
Right. It holds the precise grid of a corporate payslip, the exact hex codes for the company logo, the specific fonts. It essentially acts as this flawless blank canvas.
Okay, got it.
Then the large language model, the LLM, acts as the brain. The LLM generates the plausible narrative data to fill that canvas.
So you basically just prompt the tool, right? Like you just type in, I need to look like an operations manager making $120,000 a year at this specific logistics company.
That's literally all it takes. The AI structures the plausible base pay, it calculates the superannuation, determines the correct tax brackets, and then injects it all perfectly into that flawless template.
So the counterfeiter has basically traded in a massive expensive printing press and like a team of forged document specialists for a drop-down menu on a smartphone.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, you know, here is the massive disconnect I'm seeing. If the lenders, the banks, have these billion-dollar AI systems scanning 80 million signals a day to catch these exact fakes, why is the burden falling on the mortgage broker?
That's the billion-dollar question.
Right. Like, if you are a busy broker listening to this right now, you're probably thinking, great, the bank has a massive tech budget. Let their AI catch the bad guys.
And that is the exact psychological trap that is ending careers right now. Because, you know, you have to understand the bank's incentives.
The AI isn't there for the broker.
Exactly. The lender's AI is not designed to protect the broker. It's strictly designed to protect the bank's balance sheet and their regulatory standing.
Oh, wow. So when that massive AI system catches the fraud, and it catches it after the loan application has been submitted,
the crosshairs instantly move. They move from the fraudulent borrower directly to the broker who submitted the file.
Right, because legally speaking, the broker is the conduit.
Yes. ASIC conducts what's called a best interest duty review, or a BD. And when a fake document enters the bank's ecosystem through a broker, the bank's immediate defensive response is to ask the regulator, how did this professional fail to spot this?
So under a BD review, the brokers are completely exposed.
Completely. If you let a zero cost fake slip through, you aren't just facing a declined loan for your client. You are looking at brutal clawbacks of your past commissions. Yeah, and you're looking at deauthorization by the lender, which basically blacklists you from writing loans with them ever again. Plus, you face potential referral to ASIC for formal regulatory action.
That is a terrifying realization. The bank's AI isn't your safety net. It's actually the tripwire that blows up your entire business if you don't catch the fraud first.
Exactly. It's a hostile environment.
So, if human eyes can no longer spot the visual differences in a well-made fake, and you absolutely cannot rely on the bank to do the heavy lifting,
yeah,
how do you actually stop a flawless document from entering your workflow in the first place?
Well, the article outlines a very strict four-layer verification model to solve this. Layer one is source verification.
And this is the highest leverage defense in the entire workflow, right?
It absolutely is. The primary directive here is that you must change the origin of the document. You can no longer just accept a PDF uploaded by the client.
Because, as we just established, the client can forge a PDF for free in 3 seconds.
Exactly. Therefore, the professional must demand verified data feeds.
Okay, so what is the actual mechanism for a verified data feed? Like, how does it differ practically from a client just emailing over a file?
It relies on APIs, application programming interfaces. Platforms like Ilion, Frollo, or Basic are specifically designed for this.
Right.
Instead of asking the client for a file, you send them a secure link. They authenticate their identity, and the API connects directly to their bank's servers, extracts the raw transaction data, and deposits it straight into your system.
I like to think of it like this. Relying on a PDF from a client is like having them carry a locked briefcase of cash from the bank to your office.
Well, right? That's a great analogy.
Because you have no idea if they stopped in an alleyway, picked the lock, and swapped the cash for counterfeit bills on the way over. But an API isn't just a digital checklist. It's like building a secure, sealed pneumatic tube directly from the bank's vault to your desk.
Yeah. The client physically cannot touch or alter what is traveling inside that tube.
It completely removes them from the chain of custody.
That is exactly how it functions. The origin is cryptographically secure. For employed income, layer one means you require an emailed payslip trail that comes directly from the employer's corporate payroll system.
Not just forwarded from the client's personal Gmail.
Exactly. And for self-employed applicants, it means sitting at your desk, having the client log into their MyGov account right in front of you, and physically watching them download their Australian Taxation Office Notice of Assessment directly from the government server.
You are totally severing the client's ability to manipulate the data before you see it. But the text does acknowledge a pretty messy reality here.
Yeah, it's not always perfect.
Right. Sometimes a physical or digital PDF is absolutely unavoidable. Like, certain boutique employers just don't have sophisticated payroll systems, or there's, you know, some weird edge case.
Right. The real world gets messy.
So when you are forced to accept that briefcase instead of using the pneumatic tube, you have to move to layer two, which is metadata interrogation.
Yeah. If the file has to pass through the client's hands, you must look beneath the surface of the pixels. You aren't reading the text anymore. You are interrogating the digital fingerprints of the file itself.
And you could do this using just built-in operating system viewers or free compliance tools, right?
Exactly. The tools are very accessible.
So what are the specific digital fingerprints that actually give away an AI-generated forgery?
The creation date and time is usually the very first failure point. The article notes a massive red flag. Like, imagine a payslip where the file's creation metadata shows it was generated exactly 24 hours before it was submitted to the broker.
Oh, wow. Even though the actual pay period was supposedly 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Right, because the counterfeiter didn't have the fake ready until you asked for it.
Exactly. It's a dead giveaway. You are also looking at the generating application itself. A genuine statement from a major bank will show metadata indicating it was rendered by proprietary enterprise-level document software.
But if they faked it?
Then the metadata shows the file was rendered in, like, a generic off-the-shelf PDF editor or some web-based formatting tool. And if you see that, you have a massive problem.
You also look for subtle image artifacts, don't you?
Yeah, areas where a logo might have been digitally overlaid, leaving a microscopic layer of pixelation, or where the font kerning changes slightly on one specific line item because the AI injected text into a static image.
Wait, I have to stop you there. Because let's say I'm a broker, right? And I look at the metadata, I see the font is a little weird or the creation date is, you know, a little tight. Is that really enough to accuse my client of committing federal mortgage fraud?
That's a huge leap.
Because if I tell a client, hey, I looked at your PDF's metadata and I think you're a liar and I happen to be wrong, I have completely ruined that business relationship. That just sounds like an absolute minefield.
Oh, it is a minefield. And the article is very, very clear about how to navigate it. The answer is absolutely not. PDF metadata red flags are not definitive proof of a crime.
Okay, good.
There are a dozen benign reasons a file might have weird metadata. Like maybe their HR person is just using a really cheap PDF converter software.
Okay, that is a huge relief.
Yeah.
So how do we actually use this information then if we can't accuse them?
You use it as a procedural trigger. You aren't making a citizen's arrest here. The metadata anomaly simply provides the documented justification for you to reject the file without accusing them of fraud.
Ah, I see.
You simply say, unfortunately, our compliance software flagged a technical issue with this file format, so I am now required by our internal policy to request a verified API data feed from your bank.
That is brilliant. You essentially blame the system to force them into the pneumatic tube.
Exactly. It gives the professional the high ground to enforce layer one without destroying the relationship.
It's a great diffusing tactic.
What?
But this brings us to the most complex part of the threat. Like, the blacklight test works perfectly if they used a cheap PDF editor. But what happens when the forger uses a truly sophisticated AI?
Right, the high-end stuff.
Yeah, an AI that perfectly spoofs the creation dates, perfectly replicates the enterprise software fingerprints, and ensures the digital ink is absolutely flawless. At that point, you can't trust the file itself. You have to interrogate the story the file is telling.
Which brings us to layer three. Cross-document reconciliation.
And this is where verification moves away from simple data collection and becomes basically a logic puzzle.
It does. Because while an AI can generate a visually and structurally perfect document in isolation, it fundamentally struggles to weave a mathematically perfect lie across three different disconnected documents spanning multiple months.
But why is that? I mean, if the AI is so smart it can fake enterprise metadata, why can't it do the basic math across 3 months of paperwork?
Because of how large language models inherently function, they are probabilistic prediction engines.
Meaning they just guess what comes next.
Exactly. They guess the next most logical word or number based on their training data. They are actually incredibly bad at deterministic math over a long context window.
Oh, interesting.
So an AI can generate a visually perfect payslip. But when it's forced to ensure the year-to-date tax deductions mathematically reconcile with the net pay across 3 months of separate bank statement deposits, the math shatters.
So it's all about checking internal consistency across different silos of information.
Exactly. The net pay shown on the payslip must match the exact deposits landing in the bank statement, literally down to the cent. And it has to land within the normal expected pay cycle.
Right.
If the payslip declares a specific base salary, the superannuation contributions, the SG or superannuation guarantee, must mathematically align with the exact mandated percentage of that income.
So the AI might guess a superannuation number that looks plausible at a quick glance.
But when you run the exact percentage calculation, it's off by like $50.
It's essentially asking, does the math of this person's existence actually add up in the real world?
Right. If there is rental income listed on a tax return, it has to match the signed lease agreement. And there must be a consistent corresponding credit pattern in the bank account.
And if it doesn't?
That discrepancy must be recorded, clarified, and resolved immediately, because the lender's 80 million signal AI is absolutely running these exact cross-document mathematical checks in milliseconds.
Yeah, they aren't going to miss a math error. So if the math fails or the logic puzzle has missing pieces, we have to move to the real-world checks. Layer 4 is independent confirmation.
The manual detective work.
Exactly. Making a direct call to the employer's payroll department, doing an ABN lookup, the Australian business number, to ensure the corporate entity actually exists and is registered for GST.
Doing a web search to ensure the employer's digital footprint actually matches the scale of the income they're claiming to pay.
Right. And there's a critical vulnerability here that the article highlights, isn't there?
There is. When you escalate to calling the employer's payroll, you must absolutely never use a mobile number or contact detail provided by the borrower on their application.
Because you might just be calling the applicant's friend who is sitting on their couch, you know, ready to pretend to be an HR manager.
Exactly. It's a classic closed-loop scam. You have to break the loop by finding the independent, publicly listed switchboard number for the company and asking to be transferred to payroll yourself.
Okay, if you're a busy broker listening to this right now, you are probably screaming at your dashboard. You are under massive time pressure.
Oh, for sure.
The housing market moves incredibly fast. Clients expect approvals in days, not weeks. Do you really have to play private investigator cross-reference math across 6 documents and call employers on every single file? Like, that sounds completely impossible to scale a business that way.
That is the most common pushback in the industry by far. And it's completely valid concern. You pick up the phone only when the income basis is highly unusual, the employer's profile seems, you know, disconnected from the applicant's stated role, or when the cross-document reconciliation fails to balance.
So it's an escalation protocol.
Exactly. The workflow forces critical thinking, not infinite manual labor. If they use the API and the math matches perfectly, you don't need to call the employer. You are verifying the logical reality of the applicant's existence, reserving your heavy detective work strictly for the anomalies.
Let's assume you've executed the system flawlessly. You push them into the API data pools, you swept the metadata when forced to take a PDF, you cross-referenced the math, and when a red flag popped up, you called the employer's public number and verified the truth.
You've done everything right.
You are 100% certain the client is genuine and the loan is solid. But according to the corporate regulators, if you don't do this next crucial step, you might as well have actively participated in the fraud.
Yeah, this is where it gets legally dangerous.
This takes us to our final section, the paper trail and the future of trust.
This is truly the most sobering legal reality to emerge from the CBA probe. The regulator, ASIC, operates on a very specific, uncompromising philosophy. Documentation is the unit of compliance.
Documentation is the unit of compliance. Let's unpack the high-level regulatory philosophy there, because it sounds like, you know, bureaucratic jargon. Why does documentation matter more than the actual truth?
Because in a legal setting or, you know, a regulatory audit 2 years from now, unrecorded intent is completely indistinguishable from negligence.
Wow.
Your internal certainty as a professional does not matter to a regulator at all.
Yeah.
If a fraudulent document slips through, that is obviously a major problem. But if a fraudulent document slips through and your file has absolutely no record of your verification attempts, that is a catastrophe.
You can't just say, I checked.
No, you cannot defend your license by telling an ASIC investigator, I looked at the file back in 2026 and I felt good about it. The file itself must physically demonstrate the specific actions you took to verify the reality.
Because memory isn't evidence. If it isn't written down, the law simply assumes it didn't happen.
Precisely. The article refers to this as building the defensible file note. Every single application you submit needs to explicitly record the workflow.
What does it actually look like?
It needs to state which API data feeds were used and when they were pulled. If a PDF was accepted, you must record your metadata observations. You must explicitly list the mathematical reconciliation steps you performed across the documents.
And the phone calls too, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. If you had to attempt independent confirmation, you must record the time, the public number called, and the exact outcome of that conversation.
Okay, that sounds like it could turn into a 10-page essay for every single client. I can totally see why brokers would resist that.
It does sound overwhelming, but it really shouldn't be. And this is a vital point for professionals to grasp. A defensible file note does not require a novel.
It doesn't.
No. The article states that a simple, time-stamped, 3-to-4-line entry in your customer relationship management system, your CRM, is completely sufficient.
Give me an example of what that looks like.
Sure, something like bank data pulled via Ilion API at 2 p.m. Rental income mathematically reconciled against statement deposits. No metadata anomalies in ATO notice.
That's it.
That's it. Length is not the issue here. The absence of the note is the issue. The checklist creates the audit trail, and the audit trail is literally the only shield you have.
And it seems like you need that shield more than ever right now, because the industry shifts happening as a result of this billion-dollar problem are just aggressive. The banks aren't just sitting back hoping brokers write better file notes. They are actively changing the rules of engagement.
They are completely restructuring risk. We are seeing a massive shift toward what the industry calls source of business risk filters.
Which means what, practically?
Well, the article highlights a drastic new policy implementation from the Commonwealth Bank itself. In response to the fraud volume, CBA revised its loan referral program to entirely exclude referrals from clients who haven't already held a CBA loan for at least 6 months.
Wait, so if the client is brand new to the bank, the lender is basically saying, we fundamentally do not trust your paperwork, and we won't even look at the deal unless it meets an incredibly high known client threshold.
That is exactly the signal they are sending to the market. Known source of business is becoming the primary fraud defense.
That's huge.
And this pressure isn't just coming from the banks either. The aggregators, the massive head licenses that individual brokers operate under, are rapidly upgrading their own internal compliance standards to protect their broader relationships with the lenders.
So it cascades down.
Yep. If the head license suddenly requires API-verified data feeds across the board, the individual broker's personal practice must instantly match that standard. You just can no longer operate on the looser, trust-based standards that you might have gotten away with in, say, 2023.
It really is an adapt-or-die moment for the profession.
Mm-hmm.
If your files are sloppy, you don't just get a warning anymore. You literally lose the ability to transact.
Very much so. Brokers who maintain clean, aggressively verified, and thoroughly documented files are going to thrive in this new environment because they represent safe conduits for the banks.
And the rest?
Those who refuse to adapt will find their accreditations coming under quiet review. They will simply be starved of the ability to do business.
So bringing this all together, the reality check here is pretty stark. Artificial intelligence has made the physical forgery of financial documents entirely free, mathematically complex, and completely flawless to the human eye.
It's a paradigm shift.
It is. The era of just glancing at a PDF payslip, checking the logo, and trusting the math is dead. The only way forward is this strict four-layer model, demanding cryptographic source verification through APIs, interrogating the digital metadata when a file slips into your hands, reconciling the logical math across disconnected documents, and deploying real-world independent confirmation when the story just doesn't add up.
And, you know, while this deep dive focuses heavily on the mechanics of the finance sector, the underlying defensive habits here are completely universal. Verifying the true source of your information, checking for internal consistency across different narratives, and clearly documenting the rationale behind your decisions, these are crucial survival skills for absolutely anyone trying to navigate our modern, incredibly low-trust information environment.
I completely agree. You don't need to be an accredited mortgage broker to realize that if a document can be faked perfectly in 3 seconds for $0, you need a fundamentally different way to find the truth.
You really do.
Which leaves us with a pretty intense thought to end on today. Think back to that $1 billion problem CBA walked into the police station with, and the 80 million signals their AI has to scan every single day just to keep their heads above water.
It's an astronomical effort.
Right. So if human trust is becoming this much of a liability, are we rapidly approaching a future where human judgment is entirely eliminated from finance? Where a life-changing loan approval is just one machine talking to another machine through an API, and the human being, both the broker and the borrower, is just completely cut out of the loop?
It's a frictionless future, but one that honestly seems closer every single day.
Something to mull over the next time someone asks you to just trust a PDF.